A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. If you wish, you can keep the commandments. To behave faithfully is within your power. He has set fire and water before you. Put out your hand to whichever you prefer. Man has life and death before him. Whichever a man likes better will be given him. For vast is the wisdom of the Lord. He is almighty and all-seeing. His eyes are on those who fear him. He notes every action of man. He never commanded anyone to be godless. He has given no permission to sin. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy are those who have placed their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who have placed their trust in the Lord. Happy indeed are those who follow not the counsel of the wicked, nor linger in the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of scorners, but whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who ponder his law day and night. Happy are those who have placed their trust in the Lord. They are like a tree that is planted beside the flowing waters, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves shall never fade, and all that they do shall prosper. Happy are those who have placed their trust in the Lord. Not so are the wicked, not so, for they, like winnowed chaff, shall be driven away by the wind. For the Lord guards the way of the just, but the way of the wicked leads to doom. Happy are those who have placed their trust in the Lord.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. We have a wisdom to offer those who have reached maturity. Not a philosophy of our age, it is true, still less of the masters of our age, which are coming to their end. The hidden wisdom of God, which we teach in our mysteries, is the wisdom that God predestined to be for our glory before the ages began. It is a wisdom that none of the masters of this age have ever known, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We teach what Scripture calls the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, things beyond the mind of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the very things that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit reaches the depths of everything, even the depths of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, if your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to our ancestors, you must not kill. And if anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court. But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will answer for it before the court. You have learned how it was said, you must not commit adultery. But I say this to you, if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, you have learned how it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but must fulfill your oath to the Lord. But I say this to you, do not swear at all. All you need to say is yes if you mean yes, and no if you mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. May the Lord be in my heart and in my lips as I strive to proclaim the Gospel of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure many of you know that yesterday was the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It was also a special day of prayer throughout the world for people who are ill. One of the wonderful things is at places like Lourdes, miracles happen. Unfortunately, the Church has been very, very careful over the centuries, really. When somebody claims to have been healed miraculously, they have to produce medical reports before the miracle and medical reports after it. So they do seem to be God healing people. Jesus promised this kind of thing. The last thing he said to his disciples, he said, go forth, preach the gospel to the whole world, and you will lay your hands on the sick who will recover. Now, laying on of hands, when you're confirmed, the bishop prays over you. When you're ordained a priest, the bishop lays his hands on the head of the person to be ordained. In fact, it reminds me, when I was working in prisons and I became rather ill, I went to an osteopath in London. And I'd never been to an osteopath. He was laying his hands over me. And then he called a colleague in from another consulting room, and they both did it. And he warned me, said, now when you stand up, be careful. You may be very dizzy. So I suspect that the laying on of hands is a very ancient thing in the human race, that somehow it helps the sick person. For doctors, it's called a good bedside manner, I believe. Is that right, David? When I was working in a parish in Devon, one of the parishioners there, he and his wife ran a bed and breakfast. He said, my wife's in a terrible state. She's had what seems to be a diagnosis of breast cancer. He said, can you come down and see her? I said, yes. He said, would she like to receive the sacrament of the sick? He said, probably. So I went in to see her, and she said, I just can't face the future. I'm going to the hospital next week for the final consultation before they decide what to do. I may have to have a mastectomy. I can't face that. I'll probably get radiotherapy, chemotherapy, I'll lose all my hair. Said, I can't face it. So I laid my hands on her and prayed. I anointed her with sacred oil. And I said, may the Lord raise you up May this holy oil bring you the help of the Lord with strength and comfort. And I left. I used to do that regularly. Every priest does it. A few weeks later, I said to John, "How's your wife?" He said, "It's very strange. She went to the hospital. There was no cancer there." Was it a miracle? Only God knows. Maybe she'd been misdiagnosed before I saw her. Maybe she hadn't. Living with God, we live with mysteries. I'm the kind of person who I always want to go outside of where I am to find out. So I love the interfaith. We meet in the city hall every couple of months. And listening to other people in their belief. And one of the things that's interested me lately is how Christians in the Far East, they're called Orthodox, they're called Coptic. What are the things they believe that are different to us? What are the things they believe that we share with them? And one of the things is, they believe that becoming a Christian and following the Christian way of life in the company of Jesus with the gift of his Spirit, we become like God. We don't become God. And it says in St. John, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" He was quoting Psalm 82. Now that's a very different perspective that we have in the West, isn't it? I'd never heard that. And I would even put it, and this is where I start, yes and no, Darwin's evolution. His views were absolutely condemned by every Christian throughout the world, because he said we are descended from apes. People said, "Well, we're not apes." But we human beings, we types of human beings, have been around on the planet for about, I think it's about 3 to 4 million years. And if we could see our ancestors then, we probably look at them and think, yes, they are a bit like apes. But I'm prepared to argue, and of course the Vatican might condemn me for this, that part of our very evolution, is to evolve into the sons and daughters of God, to be members of God's family, to be divinely inspired human beings. And so it is. How do we achieve this? Well, we're not. Jesus says, "You must not kill." What's happening in the Ukraine? "You must not commit adultery." Since the sexual revolution in the 1960s, has adultery become more common? "You must not break your oath." If you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. Be simple. There was a young man went to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And the problem was, he was a rich young man, and Jesus just said, "Sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me." That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? But I suppose the three basics of Christian life are love, faith, and hope. And all those years ago, the Beatles sang, "All you need is love." I didn't realize then they were quoting the gospel. And you need faith. Even to survive as a human being, you need hope and faith. When I was training for the priesthood, it took 7 years, about the same time as for a doctor, I think. And my first year was a novitiate, a year of prayer. And I remember the novice master saying to us there, he said, I remember this was in the middle of the last century. He said, "Brothers, you are being called to something higher than marriage." Me, something higher than being married. And being a bit bolshy, I disagreed, but I didn't dare say anything against it. Because I now believe, reflecting on my own parents' marriage, and knowing what people go through in marriage, to be faithful, to be true and loving to each other, to be generous, nurturing parents who give their lives to bringing up their children. You are the real saints. And from our first reading, God has given no one permission to sin. It's a bit obvious, isn't it? But that was written probably about 4,000 years ago. And in the second reading, St. Paul saying to the Christians in that lovely little city of Corinth, the Holy Spirit reaches the depths of everything, even the depths of God. Now, it's hard to see into the depths of somebody else's mind and heart, but to see into the depths of God, that gift is given to us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.